Fellow Freedom fans, got something in the news here. Elkhart, Indiana. Those of you have motorhomes and you like your old motorhome, you might want to hang on to it. It may be a collector's item. You know how motorhomes in the past have essentially been a depreciating asset, so to speak? Well, it may be that it might be something that you can hang on to because there won't be many available. It's kind of like when in the 70s you had all these muscle car capabilities just weren't there, so it was good to hang on to the ones you had. President Barack Obama today announced a $2.4 billion grant program, not a loan program, but a grant. Here is free money to spur both a more fuel-efficient future and jobs, including here in Elkhart, Indiana. Hard-hit Elkhart, Indiana. He was at what used to be the Monaco plant, and I've spent some time looking at Monaco motorhomes. They were kind of what I could see, low-end of nice ones. Or nice low-end ones, but it was bought out by Navistar International. The grants Obama announced, which must be matched by a $2.4 billion in private investment, so they're going to give you half the money. It's sort of like doubling your investment. So if you want to go, now this is for you investors out there, want to figure out where to put your money. It must be matched by $2.4 billion in private investment. We'll go to 48 projects in 25 states, including Indiana. And some of these have, seven of them have been awarded to Indiana firms. This is under the American Recovery and Investment Act. Now, where they're going to get this money, how it's going to get paid for, that's a whole different issue. So now once you buy your stuff and, you know, your stock or whatever it's going to be, or you start targeting this particular industry because it's a place that you can make money, you might want to think about what you're going to do with it when you're done. $1.5 billion in grants. This is not loans. This is grants. They're giving away money. See, the United States is borrowing money. Somebody somewhere is going to have to either pay it back, or they'll all the property that's been participating in some kind of United States program over the last 40 years will be sucked up and owned by foreign bankers that have their investments in the Federal Reserve, little swap deals that have been going on lately, things like that. So when the United States can't pay their debts because, or the Federal Reserve can't pay its debt because the U.S. can't pay its debt because the people can't pay that debt, it's going to snowball eventually. But this is $1.5 billion in grants to U.S.-based manufacturers to produce batteries and their components to expand battery recycling capability in the United States. And I got a feeling with batteries right now, folks, we have a pretty good battery industry. That's something to think about. There's other countries in the world that have some good technology with batteries and things like that, but it's not a very improved way, place or business or industry that it ought to be. It's actually got a lot of toxic issues, and I think they're going to have some trouble having to perfect some of these things. I think there's some advantages they're going to get and some disadvantages to this participation in this battery thing. $500 million in grants to U.S.-based manufacturers to produce electric drive components is another thing that's going on, including electric power or motors, electric power electronics, and other drivetrain components. $400 million in grants to purchase thousands of plug-in hybrid and all-electric vehicles, including cars, delivery vehicles, and trucks. I was listening to Tom Cryer, who's a lawyer who's got a show after mine, and a few weeks ago he was mentioning that, you know, whenever you take electricity and convert it to a battery, you're wasting energy. So to take AC and convert it to DC, there's an inherent waste. And then to put that into a battery power, there's a certain amount of waste and depletion of energy while the batteries are sitting down. So it is a little bit weird that it's supposed to be fuel efficient, energy efficient, and it's actually a little bit counterproductive. So that's something to think about, but that's a new thing going on. There's another thing that was in the news before I get to the Afghanistan thing, just before we close out the show. Here's an article that I found in the Russia Times. Sometimes I go to foreign news to find out things that I think are significant. They report that the human body has no useless organs whatsoever. Did you hear that? Remember all the vestigial organs that we heard about when we were little kids? Part of this evolutionary process that something that went awry or maybe used to have a function or something like that. It says the human body has no useless organs. It's almost as if it's been designed. The human internal organs, which have long time been considered unnecessary because of their inaction, have appeared vital for survival in extreme conditions. Teachers still explain at schools that vestigial organs are body structures considered have been useful in ancestral species, but are slowly being phased out in modern animals. Examples are appendix, the coccyx, tailbone, the tonsils, and spleen. Researchers have found that they underestimated the role of these organs. He said such organs can play a vitally important role in people's survival under extreme conditions, in an unusual living environment, or during serious illnesses. In the study, they found that the spleen might have a critical role to play in healing damaged hearts, of all things. Jeffrey Lateman, director of anatomy and functional morphology at New York City Mount Sinai School of Medicine, reported. Of course, he may have a biblical perspective, right? Mount Sinai. It's a spleen that helps cope with infections, creating filters for unhealthy blood corpuscles. We know about that. He goes on to some intense. It says the Times of India wrote scientists previously believed that monocytes that are helped by, I guess, the spleen helps with these monocytes were produced only in bone marrow, but now it's coming from other places. Okay, so they go into a lot of things. The appendix, like a strange worm-like, it's a strange worm-like organ, also proves to be useful. It's a storehouse of beneficial bacteria. It turns out it's beneficial bacteria that help us digest food. Isn't that something? Now, so here's an idea. And I was watching a shark thing on Discovery Channel, and there was Shark Week. And very fascinating. They see, look, and this guy from Australia, look the way he's adapted. It's adapted itself to this. Figure the odds of it adapting. What an incredibly smart shark that it knows how to adapt itself to be able to perform to the peak. You know what? Oh, you know, have you noticed something? I don't know if you know that. I think some of the recent fighter planes have been designed considering the shark. I mean, this just really crazy things going on. If we really want to make high human technology, we got to go to sharks. Okay, I do want to mention something about Afghanistan. I saw, I've been looking into the Afghanistan issue. And I've been watching I've actually watched little squads in battles, watching how some deal with these battles. Very professional, very impressed. Been watching Australia, Canada, the United States, Estonia, New Zealand, and some other places. And you see a difference in how different forces act under these circumstances. I am amazed at some professional soldiers, I would say, and I'm not going to tell you which ones in particular out of this NATO group, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, very calmly going into battle. They're being shot. In fact, the cameraman there, you can hear the bullets hitting nearby as they're being shot at by Taliban. And some of them are locals and some are recruited from other parts of the world, come in and shoot at people. But it's amazing how cool they are under this. Calm, cool, and collected, and then when they're done with the little shootout, how sweet they are to the nice people who are walking by them, who very well may be in part of the problem. And how it was amazing to me. Then I've seen other instances where guys are just a bunch of murderers, and they're under, basically they've got a gun in their hand, and they've gotten a little power to do something, and they're probably maybe going a little bit beyond what they should. But what is America doing in Afghanistan? Why are they there? And do you know it? Do you know why? Should they stay? Should you send more? Should there be a policy? What is the mission? Is there a mission that can be completed? What's the history of Afghanistan? This is a significant thing. Oh, by the way, there was some of those folks that did the 2/11, I'm sorry, the 9/11 2001 attack. We're affiliated with these groups in Afghanistan. There really is a little pool of a bunch of lunatic suicide killers. There is a pool of people there that's what they do with their time, and that's what their focus is, and they're recruiting people. So let's see what some of these things say in the news. I found an article, and something was reported by CNN the other day. I saw that, but there was another thing that I got out of a Russian newspaper. It said the Taliban are using children bought from poor families or recruited from madrasas to launch suicide attacks in Pakistan and Afghanistan. And there's So this is an article that I read in a Russian report. And of course, these reports are kind of being reported by all kinds of people all over the country. But you've got a country where there are people who think it's okay to murder everybody, to murder Americans or whoever's there, whoever the visitors are, and also to kill innocent people who are just standing by, who may or may not support the Taliban desires. And because they have a belief that if they get killed by these jihadists, that these guys, the people that get killed, get a free ride to heaven. So that's what they're thinking. That's what they're thinking. And that's so this is the kind of thing that's happening in Afghanistan. Qari Abdullah, a Taliban commander in charge of child recruitment, told Shermin Abad Chinoy that children as young as 5 and 6 years old were being recruited from poor families. According to intelligence estimates, more than 5,000 child suicide bombers between the ages of 10 and 17 have been trained by the Taliban so far. On April 6, a child suicide bomber blew himself up at a Shia mosque, killing 26 people and injuring more than 50. The other day, I watched a very recent video where I was watching an Australian group that was in Afghanistan, and I think they were working with a Estonian group, and they were from NATO, and they go into this village, and they were going to secure the village and then build a water system for them. And so they had to go secure the place so that they could build a water system that provides the village and their mosque with clean water. So that's what they're doing. So as they're pushing, they kind of make a perimeter in this village that goes beyond where the place they're going to have to do the work. Suddenly they see they start to get shot at, and there's somebody shooting at them. And then they've got people placed in different positions that are looking for this kind of thing. And so the report comes to the commander in charge. There's a kid about somewhere between the ages of 10 and 12, roughly, who's the one shooting at you. So what do you do? That's an interesting thing. It's going to come back here on the show because I really do want to talk about that, because this is something that's going on, and we're worried about this. You've got American people going overseas, putting their life on the line. In some cases, you've got a few of these guys acting like real idiots and making the problem worse. It's a very small group. And then you've got other guys who really are in good faith trying to do the right thing and might be hindered because there's a little bit of confusion with the policy. Hadn't quite gotten the policy figured out to really accomplish a goal that might be satisfactory. And then you've got other folks there that it might be that maybe they've got a good idea. Maybe they're doing something right that's actually fulfilling what the purpose of government is, what the purpose of the military is with regard to you, and what is a just cause, what is a just use of even in certain cases deadly force. So those are the kind of things that I'll be bringing up here. And here we're closing out the Faith and Freedom Show, and I appreciate you guys tuning in to the Eagle 104.3 FM. I do want you to continue on. We're going to have different things that come up on the show. Sometimes it's something you like. Sometimes it's something that irritates you. That's just part of the process. That's part of what we're doing here. And we'd love it. I've got a website, faithfreedoms.org, where I give people the ability to link into audio while we're doing the show, and also an audio and video link while we're doing the show. I also have it, faithfreedoms.org. There's a link to faithfreedoms.net, where over the last couple of years when I was broadcasting in Virginia, that I periodically posted some of those shows to the internet, putting a title on it and making it available. And some of those are pretty good, and I encourage you to tune into those. Over time, we're going to try to break them up into smaller segments so you can take it in piecemeal so you don't have 54 minutes of listening to do. So we appreciate your tuning in. Again, encourage you to consider participating in Liberty Works Radio Network, and look forward to coming back tomorrow. We've got a good guest on Friday. Make sure you're tuning in. We shall return.